stay on hold of a buddy of mine who helps with this program some. Probably knows how many shows we've done, but I do not. I forget. Matt Durbin is here behind the controls, running the show for us today. So good morning, Matt. Thanks for making the run over here. I'm here with a man named Don Sigg this morning, a longtime friend, and I would like to tell you that on the way from his house to here, we had a long discussion about the show this morning. But if you've ever ridden with the Sigg in the car, you know that's not true. We did discuss a little bit about the rolling hills of southern Indiana, but that was about it. Don wanted to come on today because he is, as we all should be, and we all are, a lover of the book of Acts. And we're going to talk about the accounts of conversion in the book of Acts, kind of do a survey really of the book of Acts and look at the conversions and what the Bible example is about salvation and how it occurs, when it occurs, and that sort of thing. Don, you want to do a more of an explanation of what we're going to do? Is that pretty much?
You hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
The chance or the obligation to become Christians is necessary in our lives, mm-hmm. if we're going to seek eternal life. And with the book of Acts, you have every conversion listed in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. So if you can find out how people became Christians in the first century, you can find out how to become a Christian today.
Well said.
And that's what we're going to look at today.
So the issue is, and this is what we talked about last week at El Bethel, and I'm going to read a little statement from American Baptist, because the El Bethel used to be part of the Southern Baptist organization, and before they were Southern Baptist, they were American Baptist. And the issue with people and baptism is the discussion comes up, when does salvation occur? And Southern Baptist creed clearly states that salvation precedes baptism. That baptism, once you're saved, then identifies you with the congregation, or that's whatever, you know, that's, if you read their creed, that's pretty much what it says. And I was going to, if you don't mind, I was going to read a little paragraph from the American Baptist. This is on the American Baptist site on basically their statement of faith. It says, statement of beliefs of the North American Baptist. And point number 5 on salvation says, we believe salvation is redemption by Christ of the whole person from sin and death. And this is what they follow up with. It is offered as a free gift by God to all and must be received personally through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. An individual is united to Christ by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. As a child of God, the believer is acquitted of all guilt and brought into a new relationship of peace, and Christians grow as the Holy Spirit enables them to understand and obey the word of God. Now, they've got Bible verses listed in here, but what's interesting and what John Bingham talks about is Bible balance and how we can't use one Bible verse to nuke another Bible verse, and that one Bible verse does not undo what another Bible verse says. You have to take them all in context. And I'm going to show you this. I'm going to get up and grab that chart and show it from back here, because I think Matt took a picture of it. Hang on a sec. This is what Don has put together that we're going to talk about this morning. This is a chart of all of the examples of the conversions in Acts. And I think Matt's going to post a picture of this on, if he can. If not, we'll make sure you get it. But this has all the accounts and all the verses. So we're going to look at all of it. We're not going to leave any of it out. Is that right, Don?
We'll try to, if the time allows.
There you go. So we'll get through what we can.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, I'll shut up and let you get started with what you want to go with, and we'll just jump on and go.
Okay. Your show is Let the Bible Speak. Mm-hmm. And if the religious world would do that, what would the result be? If they put away the teachings of their preacher, their pastor, their pope, their creed book, their convention, there's one group that's even got apostles looking after them today, the Latter-day Apostles. But nonetheless,
that's interesting.
And it goes on and on. There's various mm-hmm. people that will tell you what to believe. Mm-hmm. And if the religious world would just look at what the Bible says and not what their denomination teaches, what would they come to? What conclusion would they have? Mm-hmm. Read and follow the Bible only is what I would suggest. Mm-hmm. Let the Bible Speak. The Bible speaks on how to become a Christian, mm-hmm. and that's what we're going to look at today. If we look at Mark 16:16, the Lord himself says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. we could stop right there with the whole lesson.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said that he who believes and is baptized will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Acts, we do have instances of salvation, men and women obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and becoming Christians. And first of all, we'll look at the book of Acts is written by Luke,
mm-hmm.
but it's an account of the Acts of the Apostles. And the apostles were men chosen by God. They were with Jesus for 3.5 years. They walked and talked and spent their days and nights with Jesus. They saw all the miracles he performed. They heard everything that he spoke. They even had private teachings with him.
Mm-hmm.
They had the authority of God when it comes to what they taught. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit was given to them in John 14:26. We'll look at that. I don't want to misquote anything, so I'm going to read rather than use my memory, because my memory can fail me, but the scripture won't. In John 14:26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So if their memory fails them as they're teaching individuals, the Holy Spirit's going to intervene and give them the correct teaching on any subject.
And that's interesting. The word "all" comes up there twice. I mean, and mm-hmm. it's interesting. There are apostles there that a denomination has apostles today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming teaching them stuff.
I'm sure they
that's
have the
contrary to what the Bible says.
Exactly.
And if this means if all, and we talk, we kind of laugh about this often, but if all here means the same thing that all means, there is no more.
There's no allus.
What we have, there's no allus, there's no aller, or most all.
Yeah.
It's just all. And so we have to remember that when what we have in front of us is all there is. There is no more. There's no new revelation. There are no new apostles. There is no more teaching. What we have is what we have. And it's enduring. It lasts forever. And that's what we've got to go with, which is what your point is this morning. So
yeah, the Holy Spirit is directing what we're going to read here today.
Mm-hmm.
If the Lord, as we've already mentioned, says believe and be baptized, and the Holy Spirit is teaching Peter and Paul and the rest of the, well, Philip, for example, an evangelist even, when the salvation of men is concerned, the Holy Spirit is leading them to what to say and what to speak.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what that says. And once again, if we just let the Bible speak and just read it ourselves, it's not something we teach, it's what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
We'll look at the first example. The apostles acted and spoke with authority, and we'll look at what it said about becoming a Christian. If we go to Acts, the second chapter, beginning in verse 36, and we'll give a little preface to this, and I'm not going to quote scriptures on this, the whole lesson. But Paul, or Peter, is speaking to a group of Jews at this time, after the death and burial and resurrection of our Savior, and is pointing out that they crucified the Christ. They were looking for this Messiah to come, mm-hmm. these Jews. And as he speaks to them, he is convicting them or convincing them that, yes, this was the Christ mm-hmm. that they crucified. And in verse 36, he finishes up with his speech, and it's not just Peter here. It is all the apostles are speaking, but Peter's is recorded. Verse 36 of Acts 2, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, in verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?"
Mm-hmm.
They are convicted and convinced that this was the Christ, the Messiah that we've been looking for. We've killed him. What do we do? In verse 38, Peter answers. Peter said to them, "Repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, just as the Lord said in Mark 16:16, mm-hmm. believe and be baptized. And,
permission of which begs the question, if we do not accept that baptism is a requirement of salvation, how are our sins removed? According to this verse, our sins are removed through baptism. And so if that's the case, if our sins aren't removed, can we have fellowship with God?
And there's no way, no.
And so that
God went to the cross for the remission of our sins, for the blood of Christ cleansed us from sin. Mm-hmm. How do we get into Christ? Is
Galatians 3:27, yeah.
Being taught here in the book of Acts.
Yep. It's just for those who are out there who may be thinking, well, I've always been taught that baptism isn't. I had a lady tell me one time that she knew a lot of Christians who hadn't been baptized. And I wanted to say, and I'm glad I didn't. Well, no, you don't. But if that's the case, how are their sins? Because it says here, for the forgiveness of your sins. If without baptism, how does that occur? If somebody's got a Bible verse on that, give me a call. Number is 812-365-9864 if you want to call in. My cell phone, I think I left it in my truck, which is at my house. You can call that later. It's 812-620-4034. Had a little either spark plug or coil pack issue, so I left my truck at home this morning. I think my phone, that's where my phone is. But if there's a verse you know of out there that teaches that our sins are removed outside of baptism, I would like to know that verse. Go ahead, Donna, interrupted you.
No, that's fine. That's exactly what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The remission of our sins. You cannot become a Christian. As you said, there's people claim to be Christians, yes, but have they had their sins remitted? If they have not had their sins remitted, they are not Christians. Mm-hmm. And they call themselves that, but the Bible doesn't. Mm-hmm. And Acts 2:38, we saw that Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, for the remission of their sins, what did they do? Well, in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And in verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They were baptized, and then the souls were added together to them. We see in verse 47, I didn't write that down, they praised God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Those who were obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ were saved. They were added to the church, and we see that the Lord adds them to the church.
There's a good sermon there. So those who received his word.
Mm-hmm. He received his word.
Yeah. And that says a lot about who we are and whether or not we're willing to receive his word for what it says.
Yeah, read it for yourself and see what it says. And if someone tells you any different, was the verse for that? Was the book, chapter, and verse for that? In Acts 8th chapter,
while he's looking at that, he said there, I know, Don, you said there's one typo on this chart.
Yes.
Do you know which one that is so I can?
Yes, one that I know of anyway. Acts 8:36-41, there is no 40. First chapter.
Or 41st verse. Okay. So if you look at the chart with the Ethiopian eunuch, which is, I think.
I did get that picture posted on the Facebook.
Oh, good. So it is up on there. But if you look at the fourth point, Ethiopian eunuch, there's a 41, verse 41. So he recognizes that typo, and I want you to know this there as well. So right. I'm sorry, Don, go ahead.
All right. We're going to look at the conversion of the Samaritans, mm-hmm. Samaria. And in verse 5 of Acts 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Philip goes down to Samaria preaching and teaching. He preaches Christ to them, as we've said. They heeded the message in verse 6. There was great joy in verse 8. The result of this preaching in verse 12, preaching of Christ, men and women were baptized. They are now Christians. Going to verse 13, then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So Simon himself believed and was baptized. He now become a Christian. It's the pattern that we've seen start with Peter. Now Philip is preaching and teaching. What is the result? They are baptized. Yep. They become Christians.
Yep. It's interesting that first one said that it says here that they heeded the word. Acts 2, it says that they, when they received the word, there's an attitude of heart there that has to be
yes.
Right. Yeah. And on your chart, it's interesting that here is listed, here the gospel in every one of these instances. And baptism is listed under every one of these instances. Yeah. We've got, of course, believe and repent and confess scattered throughout. But it's those are the two things that bookend this discussion on every one of these instances.
That is the bookend. Yeah, you're correct. And you talked about a while ago, John talking in the previous weeks about one scripture will not annul another. Mm-hmm. It's building blocks. They will build upon each other, but they will not contradict each other.
There's no contradiction
in scripture.
No destruction of one verse.
And what we're looking at is the belief and the baptism. Yep. Yes, you have to repent. You have to confess. You have to live a life after being a Christian. And according to, you have to keep the faith.
Yeah, Romans 2:10 talks about Romans, that idea.
It does.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into much of that right now, but we can. But we're seeing how to become a Christian, how to become a child of God.
Yep.
Let's go on down in verse 8, or chapter 8. Mm-hmm. Verse 36, and this is a familiar verse to anyone that reads Scripture. It's talking about the Ethiopian eunuch.
Mm-hmm.
Back up in verse 27, we see the eunuch himself is a very devout man already. In verse 27 of Acts 8, we see he arose, and this is talking about Philip. He arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. This man had made a trip of several hundred miles. Takes weeks back in those days, by camel, by hoof, by walking. Very devout man, worshiping God. He went to Jerusalem. Evidently a very well-off man. He had his own version, but own copy of scriptures. We're going to read here in just a moment that he was reading scripture, and he didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Philip is being sent by the Holy Spirit to him. In verse 31, as he's been reading scripture, he doesn't understand it. In verse 31, he says, "How can I understand?" As a matter of fact, Philip in the previous verse, Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And in verse 31, he says, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And Philip goes up and explains the teaching of Isaiah that Ethiopian eunuch is wanting to understand. If we look down in 35, verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, the previous one talking about Isaiah, and preached Jesus to him. He preached Jesus the Christ. And what are the results? Well, look at verse 36. He wants to be baptized. Now they went down the road and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, where did this Ethiopian eunuch get the idea of being baptized?
Apparently, right? From some of that good news about Jesus.
He had Jesus preached to him. Yep. Now, he was a devout man. He had read he had his own copy of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. He's reading the Old Testament, and his baptism is new to him, mm-hmm. evidently. He says, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Where did he learn the baptism? Is the preaching of Philip of the Christ. Yeah, Jesus preached to it. When you preach Jesus, baptizing is part of the teaching. Mm-hmm. Verse 38, what is the result? Verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Mm-hmm. What is the result? He is now a Christian. This water is not a sprinkling, and we won't want to say go into too much detail of that. He went down into the water, mm-hmm. and we see that that is the mode of baptism. You have to have enough water to cover the person to immerse them, mm-hmm. and that is the command and example of the eunuch being baptized. Yep. We're going to, right now, in let me look around here. I didn't look around to find a clock.
To your left.
To my left.
Of course, you're okay. Blind in your left eye, aren't you?
Yeah, I am blind.
So I am too, so we're like twins okay. in that regard.
That is true.
So
I don't want to run out of time before we get to the next part of Acts 9, yep. which is Saul's conversion. We're yep. going to finish up with that.
Now, I'll try to do this better 15, 20 minutes. If you're just tuning in, this is a radio program called Let the Bible Speak. And we're discussing examples of conversion this morning from the book of Acts with a gentleman named Don Sigg. And we're just going through examples and looking at what the Bible shows us, what happens when someone becomes a Christian, if they choose to do so. And so that's where we are. And we're in, if you're just joining us, turn to Acts chapter 9 with us and continue our study. Don, go okay. ahead.
Yeah, I don't... don't want to monopolize.
You're doing fine. Jump in
anytime.
I interrupt too much.
No,
so
you
it's
don't.
All right.
That's fine. Let's go to, we're coming back to Acts 9, but right now we're going to Acts 10. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at Cornelius. Go to verse 21 of Acts 10. And actually, yeah, verse 21. And Peter went down to the men who had been sent from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" Verse 22, and they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you," mm-hmm. to hear words from Peter. In verse 30, Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God.'" This is a praying man. He's, by the way, a Gentile. He's a centurion, it says. And his prayer was heard by God. Did his prayer save him?
Nope.
It did not save him. In verse 33, "Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the sea, in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you." So these are commands of God that this Cornelius is obeying. Go to verse 44. And I am jumping through here, not sure. to read all the time, the scripture, but I'm trying to get the meat out of it. Verse 44. "When Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word." The Holy Spirit fell upon all these that are hearing the word.
Did that save them?
Did that save them? No.
No. Sorry. I thought you were going to ask me.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you. Yes, I was. In verse 48, "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days." They commanded to be baptized. Mm-hmm. Now, go to verse 14 of the next chapter, chapter 11. And Peter is talking about this scenario of taking the word to the Gentiles. He's talking to some apostles and other brothers. And he says in verse 14, as he finishes up the talk, says, "Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved?" That's what he's talking, that he said that he told Peter, or Cornelius, words by which all you and your household will be saved. They weren't saved by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at this time upon them. They weren't saved by hearing the commands of God. They were saved by the command to be baptized, the words by which you and all your household will be saved.
Very good.
Words from Peter commanded God, or from God, that they will save them. We go back to 48 above. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Once again, for the remission of their sins. They are now Christians. How? They will believe and be baptized.
You know, it's interesting listening to a gentleman that came out of a Baptist church. He made it, and he's preaching for Church of Christ now, and he said that he had to be coached to miss what the Bible said about baptism.
Yeah. That's going to be one of my last comments today.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. You have to have help sometimes to miss what the Bible teaches. That's why starting out, I said, what if a person just took the Bible and,
and just read it,
just read what the Bible says and followed that rather than sitting here with their hands folded and listening to someone tell them what it says. And sometimes we're guilty of that, and we can't be guilty of that. When we hear the word of God spoken, we need to have the Bible open. We need to follow along. And if those things are so, fine. If they're not, then we need to bring that to record. What the Bible says, let the Bible speak.
Excellent. Sorry about the interruption.
That's fine.
And the jump ahead.
That's fine. Like I say, I did not know how many of these we're going to get to. You're going to have a break here in just a moment, I believe.
Short break. Matt will do our intermission for us.
All right. We're going now to Acts 16. Another example of conversion. As I say, this is where you find the conversions of saints to sinners in the New Testament. We're talking about now Lydia and her household. In Acts 16, we'll look at verse 13. The Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, let's go back up here to verse 12, and from Philippi, which is the foremost city, that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some time. In verse 13, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city of the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Evidently, not enough Jewish population, and we're talking about Jews here, to have a synagogue. And they met, as it says here, out away from the city to worship God. So Paul goes out there, and they go out and speak to those folks. We see that the religious women, as what's mentioned here, are met by Paul, verse 14. The Lord opened Lydia's heart to the things spoken by Paul.
The English Standard says that her heart to pay attention.
Pay attention.
Which go back to two, you know, they received the word. Next section said that they received the word. This, she paid attention to the word. We have to. This is a big deal.
Yes, it is. Yeah, you have to think now what's being said here. And yes, you do have to pay attention. That's what we talked about a while ago. Discern from your own studies what to say, what to believe, not what someone is telling you. We saw in verse 14. That Lydia heeded her, opened her heart and heeded the things spoken by Paul. And what is the result? In verse 15, When she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. And when she and her household were baptized, once again, in the Jewish teaching, in the Old Covenant, there is no mention of being baptized. Where did she learn this? Well, Paul is teaching that. The Word of God is teaching that. And through Paul, and it is a result, they were baptized.
Now, if someone read this, just thinking, you know, in terms of, oh, Matt's raising his hand. I'll begin there with that with my question later. Matt, go ahead, brother.
Bill Careless and Scott Mitchell's Let the Bible Speak on WBRO 89.9 FM broadcast from beautiful Marengo, Indiana.
Didn't he do that well?
Yes, he did.
He's getting good at that.
Yes, he is. He's become professional.
Quite a radio personality, that Matt Durbin.
That's right.
But anyway, it doesn't say here in this text, or all of them, that she was baptized for the remission of her sins. It says she was baptized.
Yeah.
Does what is said over in Acts 2, that you will be baptized for remission of your sins, can we assume that each time someone is baptized, that's why they're baptized, from what we're taught there in Acts chapter 2?
You definitely have to.
Yeah.
You can't.
I mean, I don't want people to miss that. It's just because this verse doesn't say she's baptized for remission of her sins, doesn't mean she was baptized after her sins were remitted, or to be a member of the church or whatever. It still is the same baptism for the remission of sins. So don't miss that point. That's where we don't nuke Acts 2 with this verse, because it doesn't say for the remission of sins.
That's exactly right.
I don't know. People, they pull one of these verses out and say, well, that's not what it says here. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Based on what the Bible says, you know, Acts 20, well, I'm sure, I don't know, I'm assuming Acts 22, 16 is on there somewhere, when Paul says, you know, where Paul is told, you know, arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. Why do you tarry? You know, tarryest thou, get up, wash away your sins. It says it there, and it says it in Acts 2. Again, it kind of bookends this discussion. What baptism is for. I interrupted you, but I want people to realize in what the Bible says, it carries over and throughout the Bible. It doesn't leave anything out just because it doesn't say specifically here.
Oh, exactly.
That.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You jump to conclusions. If you pull this out here, then you have to pull it back out the second chapter, you have to go back in Mark 16:16, and the Lord was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case,
mm-hmm.
Repent and be baptized for remission of your sins.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a given.
Yeah.
Now we understand that, but sometimes that will be the argument that's brought forth by people. Why it doesn't say that? Well, yes, it does. If you read what the scripture says,
yep.
It will build. There's building blocks. It will not tear down a scripture.
Yep.
It will add on to scripture.
And for those who want to argue that point, if you have children, those who want to argue this point, how many times do you tell your children they shouldn't do something? Does it, if they say, well, can I, if they're 12, can I drive the car to Walmart and get them? You say no. Do you have to tell them, will that no carry over into the future, or can they assume it's okay to drive the car tomorrow because you didn't tell them not to? We don't use that. We don't use that logic in any other flawed logic in any other part of our lives, and it doesn't hold here. So,
the religious leaders of different cults, different denominations, they have to have some kind of special teaching, or they would not have a following.
Mm-hmm.
And that special teaching would be to tear down, to make it bend it to make it fit. Mm-hmm. What they wanted to teach.
Yeah.
Some go so far as to even print their own Bibles,
yeah.
Translate their own Bibles, because the Bible doesn't say what they believe. So, we'll make us a Bible that says that. So,
yeah.
you find all kinds of.
And what's really weird is they get a following.
Well, that's true. That's true.
How do they find people?
Because
but they do.
People will not read for themselves.
Itching ears.
Yep. So they want to be told what to do.
It doesn't. It'd be so much easier just to listen to what we've got.
Yep, yes, it would.
But hey, that's the nature of the beast.
That's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to make it.
They didn't listen to Jesus.
So yes,
some of them didn't listen to Jesus.
True.
Hey, Scott,
yes, sir.
A couple years ago, there was a version of the Bible put out that omitted verses related to homosexuality.
Yeah,
I think it was even called the Queen James Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd do it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, there's various attempts, like you're talking about, Matt, to put your own theology into Scripture, they call it, because the Scripture itself doesn't teach that. Well, we'll make one that does.
They can use that Bible up in Canada. I guess Jeff Farmer made the point last week, it is against the law to read in Canada some of the verses about homosexuality.
It's a hate speech.
Yeah, so you can't even read those verses. So that's the Bible for Canada, sounds to me like.
Sounds like it.
The Canadian National Bible is the Queen James, I guess, huh? But anyway.
Didn't know that, and that's another topic for another
that's
day.
That's a different discussion, but it goes back to the whole thing. All this, every show we do boils down to Bible authority. Every single, every denominational issue, every religious argument we have is going to boil down to Bible authority and whether we accept God as our King and whether His Word is binding or not.
That's true.
It's just that simple. Does it matter? Does it matter when you think salvation occurs? Does it matter if you think that baptism is essential or not? Does it matter if you're sprinkled, dipped, or immersed? Does it matter? All those questions all boil down to Bible authority and what the Bible says or doesn't say. And we all have to deal with that. If we're going to say, well, it doesn't matter to me, I'm going to do it my way, well, okay. You can do that. I don't think it's a very safe ground to stand on, but you can do that.
Yeah. I know from your get-go on your program here, you've stressed that time and again. Authority, authority, authority. Mm-hmm. We don't do anything in this life without authority. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's consequential. We have authority in our families, authority from our government, authority in our jobs. We submit to authority in all things.
Or we can choose not to.
Or choose not to, yes.
And if we do choose, there are consequences.
Consequences, yeah. Yes.
And there are consequences that there are real serious consequences to what this Bible says.
That's true.
And, you know, and again, boy, it's not, I said this last week, it's not that we cannot be not tied to God and then not tied to Satan. There is not some middle ground we can be on and say, well, you know, because we either choose God or by default we choose Satan. There is no middle ground float on trying to figure out where we are.
Yeah.
And so it's important that, and the reason we've got there, I show you, Matt took a picture of this chart. I want people to take this chart and study for themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Don and I are reading this to you, and we're talking about it, but read it yourselves.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're wanting.
Forget everything you've been taught.
Exactly.
And everything, whatever, and just read the Bible.
Yeah, the next time you're taught something like that, you know, well, where did you get that?
Mm-hmm. You know, demand book, chapter, and verse.
Who told you that? Yeah, demand. Book, chapter, and verse.
That's sorry, no,
no,
we,
no, that's
a bit
fine.
Of a digression, but I mean, no, it's just we not, have to.
You talk about consequences. Run over here.
You
talk about consequences. There is no greater consequence than choosing God or Satan. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the consequence.
Yeah.
Eternal life, eternal damnation.
Yeah.
In your job, you can maybe get fired, maybe quit, do something else. But when it comes to salvation, you yes or no, eternal life or eternal damnation.
Yep.
That is the consequence.
And there is a weight to that. As, you know, for me, one of the two or three top honors in my life was you asking me to preach your mom's funeral. Mm. You know, my wife said yes to me. I asked her to marry me. That's a pretty big honor. Al Bethel Church asked me to come preach. Well, that's a pretty big honor. But you asked me to preach to your family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
Now it scared the fool out of me at first, but you know, Bible, you just tell the truth, and all you wanted me to do was tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And but are there consequences? Yes, there are. You know, if I teach wrong, are there consequences? Yes, there are. And so it, you know, there's a weight to it, but it's not that complex. If we just read what this thing says, it's pretty simple. It only gets mixed up when we put personalities and people in this thing, and they try to mix it up.
That's true. Yeah.
It's pretty simple otherwise. So, but anyway,
I've been told by educators, maybe not you, but someone years ago told me that the Bible was written on an elementary level.
Mm-hmm.
That it is not hard to understand.
Mm-mm.
You know, the
That word propitiation, but anyway, other than that, we're doing pretty good.
Right.
But
you can read and understand the Bible if you can read and understand English.
Yes.
So it's not that difficult until someone makes it difficult. Mm-hmm. Someone, like I say, wants to fold their hands and not read what they're being taught, mm-hmm. but just listens to what they're being taught and accepts that without mm-hmm. studying.
Yep. And you have to take all of it. You can't take part of it. Yes, that's the hard, you know, people are leaving things out. And so that becomes confusing because people, well, that's not what I was taught. Well, they're not being taught all the truth, which causes a problem too. But anyway, I know that's, there's lots of things we could,
you're doing good. We can go other places. Yeah.
Definitely. But
we'll get back to
this idea of sticking to what it says. It's really, really important. And we have to adhere to what the Bible says.
Yes, we do. Let the Bible speak.
Good quote. I'm going to use that.
You'll use that? Yeah. Let's go to Acts 16, verse 34. This is another example of conversion, of actually Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
The Philippian jailer and his family. Paul's in prison, and Silas are in prison. And we pick up the text here in verse 34. You're not supposed to have dead air time, are you?
It's okay.
Now this Philippian jailer had brought Paul and Silas into their house. There's been an earthquake. They thought that, read this rather than just explain it. So the chains were loosened of Paul and Silas. The jailer thought that they were gone, so he was going to commit suicide, but he didn't. He was impressed by what they had been doing. They had been praying. Let's go back up to verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were in a deep part of the prison, mm-hmm. locked in chains, and they were singing hymns and praying, and the prisoners were listening. I'll go ahead and read that because mm-hmm. I started down to 34. But in verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. In verse 30, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That is a question from a heathen,
mm-hmm.
from a man of authority, actually, over the prison. Mm-hmm. He's responsible for those prisoners in his care.
Yep.
And he's heard them praying and singing, and now they're all here when they could have got away. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Mm-hmm.
There's verse 31. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Verse 32, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized."
Mm-hmm.
"Spoke the word of the Lord to him," in verse 32. Verse 33, "That word of the Lord convinced him that he needed to be baptized."
Which goes back to, they heeded the word. They paid attention to the word.
Yes.
They believed. Now, folks, if you pull 31 out here by itself,
mm-hmm.
and they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household."
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, what does that word "believe" mean? What has it meant in the previous examples? They heard it. They paid attention to it. They believed it. Which means that they were willing to do what it said.
And willing to act on it, yes.
And then they were baptized, every one of them. Don't pull that verse out and think it teaches something that the other verses aren't teaching. Mm-hmm. We can't. It's not. The word "believe" encompasses following what is said.
Yes.
Which is what we've seen in the previous examples, and we see it here as well.
We see it all through all of these examples. The end result there in verse 33. he and all his household were baptized.
Why?
Once again.
For what reason were they baptized?
For they were baptized for the remission of their sins.
Very good.
As the Lord had told us back in Mark.
Passed a pop quiz there.
Passed a pop quiz.
You did good.
They're now Christians. Let's go to Acts 18. I got to check the clock here. I want to get back to Paul.
We've got 15 more minutes.
Okay. I want to get back to Paul here because so much can be taught from his conversion.
Oh, my.
That it's a lesson in itself. Acts 18:8. They're at Corinth now. The teaching is at Corinth. And in verse 8 of 18, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. This Crispus, he's a Jew. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He believed. And then many of the Corinthians, hearing, they were baptized. Once again, they heard and they believed and they were baptized. They are now Christians. It's another example of the salvation.
Believed in the Lord.
Yes.
What does that mean? Well, go back. We just heard they believed what they were taught. The Ethiopian eunuch was taught about Jesus. He was baptized. He believed what was said about Jesus. It's the same pattern over and over and over.
And that's the good word. The pattern.
So, again, don't pull it out of context. Try to make it say something it doesn't say, folks. Don't let anybody do that.
Yeah.
They believed and were baptized. They believed what they were taught. And so that's why they were baptized for the remission of their sins, just like everybody else.
That is true. I have my sheet there.
Yes, sir.
I failed to write a scripture down.
Just pause for effect.
Yeah, that is. Think about that, folks.
Anyway.
Yes, I failed to write that down. Let's go to Acts 19. I had some verses down, but I didn't know what chapter I was going to be in. We have 12 men at Ephesus. They were baptized into John's baptism, but instructed to believe in Jesus. Let's go down to verse 34 of Acts 19. They found out that he was... Nope, I'm sorry. Verses 3 and 4.
Okay.
Verse 3 and 4. Into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism, what I just mentioned. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. What is the result in verse 5? When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They were believed and they were baptized. They were believers as far as to the extent that they were baptized under John's baptism. They spoke to them more fully the word of God. And what was the result in verse 5? They heard this. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Once again, baptized for the forgiveness of their sins.
Yep.
And we see this all through the text that we're reading.
Very good.
Which brings us back to Acts 9. I got to look at the clock.
You're good. You're good.
We have Paul, actually Saul at this time in Acts 9. The conversion of a persecutor of Christians.
Indeed.
Paul, we won't go on to all the places we could, but he was called himself the Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. He was very well instructed in the Jewish religion and
Highly educated man.
And he was so respected that he was given letters from the rulers of the Jews to go to various places to persecute Christians, to bring them back bound for punishment. In verse 9, or chapter 9, verse 1 through 9, then Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if they found any were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. And Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate or drank. He was a persecutor of Christians. In verse 6, 4 through 6, we see that the Lord appeared to him in a vision, told him he must do something. Verse 6. In verses 8 through 9, we see that he was blind for 3 days and he fasted.
Is he saved yet?
No.
Okay, just checking.
He was praying and fasting for 3 days.
Spoken to Jesus.
Spoke to Jesus, saw Jesus. None of that saved him.
Mm-mm.
Because if you go back up here to verse 6, the Lord told him, arise, go in the city, and you will be told what you must do. Mm-hmm. He still has to do something.
Yep.
Now he's blind. They're going to lead him. In verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Arise and go into, and the Lord said to him, arise and go into the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming into him, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So the Lord is telling him that he's going to be doing, mm-hmm. or what he needs to be doing. And we saw that once again in verse 6. We see that Ananias is told what he's going to need to be doing. Verse 17.
Okay.
Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and inquired, entering the house and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Ananias told him what? In verse 16. For I will show him how many things he must mm-hmm. suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and heard the house, laying his hands on him. We've read that. Bottom line is, down here in verse 18, he was baptized and he's washing away his sins in mm-hmm. baptism. The point I'm kind of making here, or wanting making, and my scriptures here, I've copied them down wrong. Ananias told him to be baptized, to wash away his sins. Mm-hmm. We don't have that washing away the sins right now, mm-hmm. but we're going to, because we're going to go to Acts 22. Mm-hmm. Acts 22, because so many people, and we get... Sometimes we get wrapped up in this. So many people will say, yes. Now, here's an example of a man saved without being baptized, because the Lord appeared to him. The Lord spoke to him. He had a miracle performed on him because he had his self healed. He fasted and prayed for 3 days.
None of that saved him.
All kinds of denominational teaching will tell you to go pray and you can be saved. Fast and pray and you'll be saved. If the Lord appears to me, he's given me a vision, that saves me.
Yep.
And those things, if they were done, definitely would have been done here.
But that's why it's important to look at everything the Bible says about a subject, which is what what we have here mm-hmm. is a collection of what the Bible says about this subject.
Yes.
And we got to look at all of it.
You look at all
of it. And that's the, folks, that's the way with everything. This is not just about baptism as far as that's concerned. But we got to look at everything the Bible says about a subject and don't listen to what somebody says about it, which is the point you made earlier. But carry on.
Yeah,
I interrupted again.
No, that's fine. Like I say, I was getting the cart before the horse here.
No, you
were. In verses, I was trying to go back to verse 20, or chapter 22. And we're going to pick up Paul speaking again to some leaders about his conversion, about his conversion. In verse 10, we see in Acts 22, as he's recounting this conversion, he said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there you'll be told all things that are appointed for you to do." We saw that back in Acts 9, in verse 6. "Arise, and you will be told what you must do. Go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." He was going to be told all things which he was appointed for him to do. And in verse 11, "Since I cannot see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus, and a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' That same hour I looked upon him." Those are parallels to what we just read in Acts 9. So we see that he was healed. Go down to verse 16. Ananias is talking to Paul. He's been healed of his blindness. Paul has been told, and Ananias also been told, that the Lord is going to instruct Ananias in what to tell him. So in verse 16, he says, "Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We don't have that in Acts 9. Mm-mm. This is another account of it. It's Paul speaking. So once again, as you said a while ago, it's building blocks. It adds on. We can't disannul this, or we can't disannul 9 because of what 16 says, or 22 says. We have to put them all together and get the whole story. And as you see in verse 16, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." His sins, although the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him, and we went over this, he prayed and he was fasting, he still had his sins, or they would need to be washed away.
You know, I've had people come, you know, say to me that, you know, they had some kind of the Spirit told them something that they were saying. The Spirit said this. This is an example of somebody having a direct face-to-face conversation with the Son of God, who was not saved through that conversation.
Exactly. That's why Paul is such a great teaching tool. You could spend your whole lesson right here.
I'm not saying people haven't had some kind of, I can't deny they had some kind of a feeling or an experience. What I'm saying is that, did that save them all in of itself? And it didn't. The requirements of salvation are right here. And so that, you know, I'm not arguing whether somebody had a feeling or not. I'm not arguing that. I'll do that at another. I've got a good discussion about the Holy Spirit I want to do, which I've done on the show once. But it's not about, it's about adhering to what the Bible says, not about some feeling or some, but simply read the Bible. And what we have here is Paul spoke with Jesus and it didn't save him.
Exactly.
And Jesus could have told him what he needed to do. Jesus chose to stick with God's plan to send him a teacher, which is another lesson.
Yes, it is.
Lots of things here. Yes, but the point is, he believed.
Yes.
He believed and he obeyed what he was told.
Exactly.
Which is the same thing we've seen from Acts 2 all the way through. They paid attention. They adhered to it. They accepted it. They believed it. However you want to word that, it means that they're willing to obey.
Exactly. And each of these cases, the person being spoken to is at different levels of knowledge of Christ. In Paul's example here, Paul's case, he had vast knowledge of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He was, as he says, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. He was very well instructed in the Lord. He was bound by being so instructed in the knowledge that he had of the Old Testament, of the old law, knowing what Jesus taught.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't just going after Christians without knowing what they taught. He thought he was a blasphemer. He was teaching false doctrine. So he knew what Jesus taught. He didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord appeared to him and showed himself to him, "Yes, this is the Lord. I was wrong."
Mm-hmm.
He immediately believed. It's not said
But I mean, we have that example. A lot of people couldn't connect the dots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Savior of the world died on a cross. That seemed to end it for them. They couldn't. But once the dots were connected, I mean, Paul knew what the Old Testament said about Jesus.
Yes.
He just hadn't connected the dots.
Yes.
Well, Jesus connected the dots for him.
Right there in front of him. Yes, he
so,
did.
Yeah. You know, then he thought, oh, that's what that means. And then he was ready to roll. Yes. So.
And he made the transition because he was a man after the truth.
Yes.
And that's what we're asking people to do today. Mm-hmm. Look for the truth.
Yeah. And then you know what we are?
What's that?
Out of time.
We're out of time. I hadn't looked. Yeah, I knew.
An hour goes fast,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah. And like I say, I did want to get to Paul because he is a lesson in himself.
Let me
the end result.
Yep. Go ahead.
It's what we started out with Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you don't believe, you're not going to be baptized. But if you don't believe and you are baptized, you're not going to be saved. Mm-mm. If you believe and you're not baptized, you're not going to be saved. That's simple logic. It can't get much simpler than that.
The thing people, when they make these flawed arguments, they never discuss what do you do with your sin? How does it get remitted?
Yeah.
How do we move our sins? If it's not through what the Bible says is through baptism, if it's not through baptism, what is it? And so we have to have that discussion. I mean, people aren't really all that willing to have that discussion.
Right.
But, you know, they're going to say, well, it's a free gift to God.
It is.
Well, okay, the Bible says that in these in these texts, and people are still baptized for the remission of their sins.
For the remission of their sins. The grace of God is free.
Yes.
And that's God's part. He's given us grace.
Now, folks, understand the grace of God was Jesus. The grace of God is his word. The grace of God is having our given us minds. We can understand what God's word says, and the grace of God has given us the opportunity to obey.
Yes.
To understand that grace is not, it doesn't cover everything. It gives us opportunity. Is it Titus 2? Yeah. Titus
2:11, I believe,
that says the grace of God has appeared to us, bringing salvation. Yeah. That's talking about Jesus.
And it's not talking. If you take that out of context,
or is that 2 Thessalonians? Then, you talk, I'm going to go find it.
That was Titus 2:11.
Okay, that's good. All right.
Titus 2:11. The grace of God has appeared to all men. I think that's what you're asking.
Well, yeah. It's interesting the way it's worded.
The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men.
Yep.
Yes. So if you want to extrapolate that and take that away from all context, you can say, well, all men are going to say it. Because the grace of God has appeared to all men. All men have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But not all men are saved. No. You have to be obedient. Mm-hmm. Part of that obedience is...
Yeah. And if that's unclear, go to the book of John and read how many times Jesus said, do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, John 8:31-32, John 14, over and over again, 22:21-23, John 14:15, John 15:14. If you are my friend, if you do what I say, it's a simple command.
You have to. Yes.
And folks, I'm going to go back, and I know I've been using this verse a lot, but it's really, really important to understand what kind of person is going to be saved. And it's the person that's going to be willing to accept God on his terms. And Isaiah 26, and I haven't got this in my house yet, but I'm going to get it. In verse 3, it says this, and folks, this is really simple. This is the heart that God wants. This is talking about God. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. Folks, that's what we're asking you to do.
Yeah.
Trust in God. It's not any more complicated than that. He's given us his word through his grace that we can choose to obey it or choose not to. And we're just asking you to read it for yourselves and choose to believe it.
It's true.
You have anything you want to close with, Don?
No, thank you for opening up this up today. We have ample verses here, ample scripture to lead us to salvation. If we'll believe it and not believe what we're being taught from other sources, check, have that Bible open when you're being taught.
Yeah.
And read it for yourself.
Love all of you. Hopefully we've done a little bit of good and no harm, as John Gentry often said. If you have any questions, again, my cell phone is at the house, 812-620-4034. Come out to El Bethel and visit with us. Bible study in the morning at 9:30 and worship at 10:30, and Wednesday we meet at 7. The little shelter house over the hill, the Shelter House County Community Building over the hill, we meet at 7 to study, and we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 there. So anyway, we'd love to see you. If you have any questions, if you want to, again, if you've got a disagreement with what's been said, bring it to me or bring it to Don and show us, because I don't want to be wrong about this.
No.
And if I thought I was wrong, I wouldn't let Don come in and say what he said this morning. I think we're right, but if you think we're wrong, let us know.
Open up the Bible.
If you're in Louisville, get a hold of Matt Durbin. Let him know, and he'll fix you. But anyway, or talk to you, not really fix you. He'll sit down and talk to you. Thank you for the opportunity, folks. I'm glad if you were on Facebook Live or on the radio. I appreciate all of you listening, and I just want the opportunity for all of you to be honest with the Bible and just read it for yourselves and forget what you've been taught. Like we've said before, just read it and accept it, and just be willing to apply it.
Yep. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome. Thank you, Matt, for being here, and safe trip home, brother. Thank you all very much.